Let me invite you this morning to find your sermon notes. We are concluding our eight-week series on the book Unshakable, and of course it is Reformation Sunday, so we're going to tie the two together this morning. On your notes you see that seal. It's called Luther's seal, which the children heard about, and around the outside, that ring of heaven, there are three phrases. Word alone or scripture alone, faith alone, grace alone. And so, as Lutherans, we know that salvation is talked about in scripture alone. There are no other works, no other readings that we need to know God's full plan of salvation. It is by faith alone, not by works, and it is by grace alone. Even the faith that we have is a gift by grace from our God. Now, these are all things that Luther put together on his seal, but the fact is, Luther didn't believe that his whole life. It wasn't until later. In fact, Luther grew up in Germany. It was in a very strict Catholic family. His father, Hans, was a miner. So every day he would trudge to the mines and he would work hard, back-breaking labor. And then he would return and he wanted something better for Martin. And so Martin went off to the university. He was going to become a wealthy lawyer, not just a lawyer, but a wealthy lawyer. That's what his dad wanted for him, something better, something to lift them and his family out of their poverty. But through all of this, Luther struggled in his relationship with God, because all he had ever heard at church was that God was a tyrant, that God was capricious, that he would send down lightning on you, that he would punish you for no reason or any reason at all. And so Martin wondered if he would be acceptable to God. You know, when the judgment day comes, as we sang earlier, the days of Elijah, when that judgment day comes, could he stand in front of the throne of God and could he enter heaven? Well, one day he was out riding back to the university at Erfurt, and there was a huge thunderstorm, lightning and thunder and rain and wind, and he was very much afraid. He was riding his horse and he fell off the horse and he was on the ground, terrified that God was going to strike him dead. And so he called out, not to God, but to the patron saint of miners, Saint Anna, help me. And then he made a promise. He made a vow to God that if his life were spared, he would become a monk. Haven't you all done that? Well, maybe not a monk, but haven't we all done that when things are not going well? God, please help me. And then you make that promise. You say, if only you will fill in the blank, whatever it is for you, then I will, again, fill in the blank, whatever it is for you. The difference is that Luther kept his promise. He had promised to be a monk, and so he did. And so he entered the infamous Black Cloister, a dark place where the monks gave up their whole life to the church. Everything they did was meant to appease the wrath of God. So before the sun came up in the morning, they would be in the chapel and in prayer. Then they would work hard until mid-morning when it was time for matins, and they would repeat their prayers. Work hard again until right after lunch. They just got bread and water for the most part. More prayers, then again at 3 o'clock, then again at 6 o'clock for Vespers, and once more before they went to bed. In between, they would read the Scriptures, and they would again see more of the wrath of God, because at that time, it was not yet in the language of the people. They couldn't read the whole thing. And it was only about the rules, what you had to do to be in good standing. Well, after about 7 years, Luther became a priest. He then became a professor at the University of Wittenberg. And now that he was able to read the Scriptures in the original language, he began to come across new verses, new passages. He discovered the gospel. And there was one verse in particular from the book of Romans, Romans chapter 1, where it reads that the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith, not by works, not by appeasing God, not by anything at all that we can do, but solely by God's grace. And so we are in right standing with God, not because of what we do, but because of what Christ did there on the cross. And all those blessings that Christ won, new life, forgiveness, salvation, comes to us solely as God's gift of faith. Luther was sent when he was a priest and a professor to Rome. It's kind of like for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Does anybody know where the headquarters is? St. Louis. That's why we wear red on Reformation. Well, maybe not. It's like going to St. Louis, or maybe Chicago, or you're the big city. So Luther was going to meet the Pope, and he was so excited because this was the center of piety and devotion in the church. And he expected to see just wonderful grace and love and all the people who were living the ideals of the church. Well, surprise, surprise, it wasn't that way at all. Unfortunately, it is very much like it is in our own church today. When we get into the inner circle and we see how the church really operates, we are really disappointed. And so is Luther. And so he decided that he would go and he would climb the Scala Sancta, the sacred steps of St. Peter's Basilica. And he went up one by one. The custom of the day was as you got down on your hands and knees and you climbed those hundreds of stairs, that you would kiss each step and you would say a prayer to the saints. And as he was on his hands and knees, that verse came back to him, "The just shall live by faith." Not by works, not by praying to the saints, not by perfect attendance at church, not by almsgiving, but by faith. And then the Reformation in his heart began, which then led to the Reformation of the church. Luther later wrote these words. He said, "It was as if the gate swung open and I entered into paradise. The bars had come off. He was no longer in a prison of his own making. Now he could see the joy of the gospel that God has in store for all of us, as if heaven were opened up." And so his transformation then shook the entire world. And on October 31st, 1517, he posted these 95 statements, these 95 theses, open for debate, to show all the things that the church had forgotten over the centuries about the love of Jesus Christ. And so when he nailed them up there, and then Gutenberg had invented the printing press, the news spread throughout the land. Not just these theses, but Luther wrote over 400 books and pamphlets, hopefully including some that you have in your house, like the Small Catechism and the Large Catechism. He translated the whole Bible into German, led the way for it later being translated into English in the modern translations that you and I can read today. He wrote 125 hymns, including "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God" that we sang earlier. As we take a look at our verse for today, which is in your notes, Romans 8, verse 28, it says, "And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose." We can give thanks for the providential storm that God had sent to change Luther's heart and then the world. Now, as we look at these words, and we know that for those who love God, raise your hand if you love God. Anybody loves God here today? Good, good. That's all of you. That's all of us. It then says, all things. What does it say again? All things. Circle that. All things. Not some things, not a few things, not some of the things, but all things work together for what? For good. For those who are called according to God's purpose. Now we understand that for Luther, okay? Preordained, God knew Luther would be born. Even before God created the world, there would be the 95 theses, there would be the Reformation. through the pain of Luther's life. Can you imagine that it would have turned out the same if Luther hadn't had that pain? If he hadn't grown up in the household he did? If he hadn't had the thunderstorm? If he hadn't had all those years where he felt like he was in a prison? If he hadn't had the oppression of the law? If he hadn't had that heavy conscience? If he hadn't felt like he needed to do something to appease God's wrath, would it have turned out the same? Probably not. And so God used, they didn't send that, but he used that for his purpose to bring the gospel back to the church. And we get that. But what about your life? As we have been reading this book, Unshakable, over the last 8 weeks, we've been talking about the strong foundation upon which our life is built, the rock of Jesus Christ, the word of the gospel. And yet we always talk about our life as well. And we talk about our pain and our troubles and our struggles. Just as God took Luther's pain and turned it around for his purpose, he does exactly the same for us. If you read chapter 8 this week in the book, Nelson Searcy says that he has talked to so many people and they have said that it is the pain of their life that has turned it around, or God has changed it for them. And the number one thing that he lists is illness. Anybody in here ever been sick? Anybody you know ever been sick? And then he talks about a particular illness. It's one that we pray for the people of God every single week, and that is cancer. Anybody in here had cancer? Anybody in here know anybody that's had cancer? Nelson Searcy says, and I would say as well, being a cancer survivor, that more people say that is the one thing that God has used in their life for his purpose more than anything else. God can take our pain, whatever it is, our cancer, our illness, the death of a loved one, the loss of a job that we have had for decades, foreclosures, rebellious children, broken relationships, you name it. God can use that for his purpose. He took Luther's and he changed the entire world, and he brought the joy of the gospel back the church. Because of what Luther did, we have a church today not run by priests or pastors, but by the priesthood of all believers. It's why we have a band leading us in worship today. It's why we have lay people who are reading the scriptures. It's why I'm not alone up here in just a few moments to distribute the Lord's Supper to all of you. God takes pain and he turns it into purpose. Now, the really sad thing, as we continue in our message this morning, that last point, the really sad thing, we are on the 499th anniversary of the Reformation. Now, if my math is correct, that leaves us, what, 1 year to 500? A half a millennium. And yet there are still people who miss the joy of the gospel. Did you know that church is supposed to be fun? Did anybody ever tell you that? That in a few moments you get to go to God's altar. You get to go to the Lord's table to receive the very body and blood of your Savior Jesus Christ. For forgiveness. For the new life that God offers. For the strengthening of your faith. For salvation itself. For the gift of heaven. And some of you are going to be coming up there like this. How about a little skip in your step? This is forgiveness. This is salvation. This is joy. This is mercy. I dare you. I did this before, Craig. I dare you to give somebody a high five when you come up to communion, right? He'll do it. Just watch him. Reminds me of a great story that was told years ago. Norman Vincent Peale, he was talking about a man in North Carolina who was trudging through the swamps. Now, he knew that you should go around the swamp. You don't want to go through it because there's quicksand and places like that. But he felt, well, you know, I'm in a hurry. I can get there a lot quicker if I go straight through. After all, I have my hip boots on, my waders. It'll be all right. I know where the quicksand is. But as he was going through, he came across what he thought was solid ground. But as he stepped on it, he sank to his knees. And he knew he was in the quicksand, and he knew that if he tried to struggle too much, he would sink down and he would die. But if he didn't do anything, he was going to die too. So he saw some marsh grass. It was about 3 feet away, about arm's length and a little more. He couldn't quite reach it. But he knew that if he could grab it, those single leaves, even though about half an inch thick, all together as a clump would be like a rope. If he could just grab onto that, he could save himself. And then it dawned on him that he wasn't literally stuck in the quicksand. His boots were literally stuck in the quicksand. And if he could just wriggle free of those boots and launch himself to grab that grass, he could pull himself to safety. And so he did. He got rid of the boots. He launched himself. He grabbed onto the grass, and inch by agonizing inch, he pulled himself to safety. Today, almost 500 years after Martin Luther discovered the freedom and the joy of the gospel, there are still people who are trying to reach out an inch by agonizing inch, bring themselves to God. People ask, "Are you a Christian?" And what do we say? We try to be. The joy of the gospel is understanding once again that we aren't reaching out to God. We aren't pulling ourselves up to Him. But God came down to us in the form of His Son, a human being, 2,000 years ago. And it was solely by Christ's work. It is through His love and His mercy and His forgiveness that we are now attached to God. It doesn't matter how much we pray. It doesn't matter how often we attend the church. None of these things. It isn't our giving. It isn't our works. It isn't our reading of the Scriptures that gains our salvation. But it's solely through the power of Jesus Christ, a power that's greater than anything else in all of heaven and earth combined. That, my friends, is the joy of the gospel. And that's why we gather together here as this church, not out of obligation, not to appease the wrath of God, but to hear His word, to receive His love, to come to His table, to sing His praises. It's why we give, not out of compulsion, but out of joy for what God has done for us. And so spread the word, because you want others to know what you already do, that our salvation is through Scripture alone, by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. May God grant that for Jesus' sake. Amen.